Betsy and I have had a wonderful time being with you. I was thinking about Lonnie's story. Several years ago, we got to go to Africa and went way out in the bush. I didn't know what that meant, but I do now. And they dropped us off for more than a week to stay out there, and there was just nothing out there much. And I bet you tell you about the toilet facility sometime when you're discussing things with her. It's quite interesting. But I tell you what was really wonderful about that. We were staying in the pastor's hut, and the little girl that came in and cleaned our room every morning, which is just a dirt floor and a cot over on the side, she would come in and sweep the room and clean it up. She had been raised from the dead. She had been dead several days, and the man of God came through town and said, here's something going on here, and he went in, and much like Elijah, prayed for this little girl. She's raised from the dead. And I would just sit there in the room and watch this little girl come in and wash our feet and wash the floor and whatever, basically washing our feet. It's amazing, isn't it? And you'd watch old Lonnie walking around here, you go, dead gun. And we have resurrection power in us. And it's not only good to see somebody raised from the physical dead, obviously, if you're the dead, it's good. But God is raising a whole lot of other stuff up that's dead. He's raising some dead stuff up in us, stuff that's died, and he's raising it up. That's good, isn't it? Absolutely. Well, let me share with you. It is my goal tonight to give you, through the Scripture, an exegetical escort into the presence of Jesus for the purpose of his exaltation and our transformation. I want to read a passage of Scripture, try to expose the meaning of it to you, and then Jesus will walk off the pages of the Scripture to do what the Scripture talks to him about. So, you can start turning in your Scripture over to Luke chapter 15. Some of you will recognize that as another familiar passage. The other night we dealt with David and Goliath, a familiar passage. This is another one of those Sunday school passages. We all know the story. Let me set it up for you a little bit. In John, Jesus is meeting with the last time for his disciples before his death. And he says something like this. Don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me and my Father's house and my Father's house. There's many mansions. I go, I'll prepare a place for you. And where I go, I will come back and take you with me. Now, where was it he was going? You weren't listening? He was going to the Father. Now, is it a place? Like Jack said, maybe. But where Jesus was going was to the Father. And when he takes us somewhere, he takes us to the Father. And they go on in that whole thing, and one of the disciples said to him, Lord, if you'll show us the Father, it'll satisfy us. And no true words ever been spoken. If you ever see the Father, you will be satisfied. There is nothing in all of our longings that won't be satisfied if we could see the Father properly. The only reason people are not running after God today is they haven't seen the Father to be who he is. They've got a distorted view of the Father. It's one of the reasons the devil loves to mess up families, so we'll have a distorted view of what Father is. And then somebody says, God's a father, and we go, oh, he's like my dad. I don't want to get to know him. But Jesus came to give us the right view of the Father, because the Father runs the kingdom. It's a father's business. So, with that in mind, I want us to look at chapter 15 of Luke. It's a story of things being lost and things being found. So, let's read. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. Ah, so now we got the context. Jesus tells this parable because some religious people are grumbling. So this parable is for grumblers. You know anybody like that? Grumble about life, grumble about the way God does things. God fixes some things, doesn't fix. He answered somebody quickly, didn't answer somebody as quickly, gave somebody more gifts than he gave others. You know, God, raise Lonnie from the dead. Let my dad not get raised from the dead. So I'm ticked with God. So you got grumblers. Well, these Pharisees were grumblers because Jesus was out redeeming sinners. And they didn't deserve to be redeemed in their mind because they were just bad folk. And so he tells them a parable. He says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after one that's lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. I want you to focus here on the fact that when what was lost was found, there was a celebration and a party. I'll give you a little clue what the kingdom's all about. If you know much about the Father, you're going to know that He loves celebrations. Absolutely loves celebrations. So, next parable, verse 8. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so, I tell you, there's joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Another party. A woman found the silver, she found what she's looking for and said, I'm happy now. And I'm so happy I won't have a party with my friends, so she got her friends in. Doesn't sound like a lot of church I grew up in, but. And he said, verse 11, and he said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that's coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had, took a journey to a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. When he spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Now compare that to the father. Back when he was home, his father gave him everything. Now he's out there, won't have anybody give him anything. Not good. And he wasn't having fun in his vocation either, by the way. A lot of folks don't have fun in vocation. You can't unless you living in the kingdom, actually. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. That's good. He stuck with his plan. But the father said to the servants, bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Well, dadgum, another party. Sound like the God who runs the kingdom, the father, is a celebrating father. He likes parties. Now, his older son was in the field, and he came, drew near the house, and he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant, and he said to him, your brother's come, your father's killed the fattened calf because he's received him back safe and sound, but he was angry and refused. Now we're talking about the older boy, but he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I've served you, I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who's devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me. All that's mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad. For this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. A good story, isn't it? Well, story of two boys and a father. We got a rebellious boy and a religious boy. Neither one of them enjoying the party. We have a boy who represents us in that all of us at some point have taken the gracious gifts of God and thought they were ours to use, thought we had a right, and so we'll use God's stuff our way. So this boy goes and dishonors his dad by saying, give me my inheritance now. In other words, I wish you were dead so I could get on with my life. And so it's a dishonoring, disrespectful thing, but rebellion is that way. Independence is that way. We all inherited that from Adam, and we've all done it. So none of us can look down our righteous nose at the prodigal son because we've done the same thing. So he takes off. Independence. Obviously, he doesn't have the right view of the father, because if he had the right view of the father, he'd stay where he was. But he takes off and goes out and spends all of his inheritance out there and winds up feeding pigs. This is a Jewish boy. It's not exactly a high-level job that he's gotten here. And he's so hungry, he's willing to eat the pods, the slop that the pigs were eating. And he's not enjoying his work. So the scripture says that he came to himself. Now, we could stop there and talk about that a lot, because coming to yourself is a grace of God in itself. Because none of us ever come to ourselves by ourselves. Coming to yourself is God opening your eyes to show you where you are. Now, he may put you in a hog pen to help do that. But just going to a hog pen doesn't open your eyes. I know lots of folks who still live in the hog pen, and they're still eating pods that were destined for the pigs, and they've just decided to work it on out. It's the grace of God when he comes to us and shows us where we are. Some of us are afraid to come to God because we're afraid that he will break us. That's a well-founded fear. He will. He will break us from our independence because he wants us to come home to the party. But you don't always have to be crushed to be broken. I know a lot of crushed people that are not broken. I know people who've lost everything, lost their health, lost their family, lost everything. But they're not broken. They're just crushed. They're still mad. They're still eating slop. They're still working in a far country. But it's grace of God to let you come to yourself. God is doing that for us, isn't he? He's letting us see how far we are from the party. That's good. That's good. Well, this is pre-repentance when you come to yourself. So he says, I'm going home. And he came up with his little speech. I'm going to go home. I'm going to tell my daddy that I know that servants in his house have it better than I do. And therefore, I want to be a servant. So he practices that little speech on his way home. So he's coming home, and his father sees him a long way off and runs out and kisses him, and the boy starts into his speech. Well, father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I've been in the hog pen, and it was awful, and I did the wrong thing, and I just want to be a servant at your house. Interesting. The father doesn't let him finish his speech very well. Because father's not really interested in the hog pen. The father's interested in the party. Now, I'm not saying it's not important for us to acknowledge the hog pens we've been into, but you don't need to spend the rest of your life telling about that hog pen you was in. We really don't care. We compare hog pens. You ought to have seen how bad I was. I really don't care. There's a party to attend. So you say, yeah, but my hog pen was so bad, I doubt I'll ever get the smell of slop off me. You put a robe on you that's perfumed. But anyway, so the father comes out and he says, hey, put this robe on. Put this ring on. Robe, that's your identity. Wear that robe, everybody knew you weren't going to be a servant, you're the son, because they wore different robes. Ring, authority. Shoes, equipment for work. Sons wore different shoes than slaves because they did different work. So he had the shoes on. And the boys, the boys going, daddy, daddy, wait. I need to tell you about that hog pen. I did terrible things. You just don't know how bad it was. I want you to concentrate on the robe and the ring and the shoes. And by the way, we got a calf, fatted calf. It's nearly done. It's out on the barbecue pit. Mesquite smoked. Now, pre-repentance was when he came to himself in the hog pen and said, I want to go home. That's pre-repentance. The hard part of repentance was getting to the Father and being willing to change your mind from demanding to be a servant to being willing to be accepted as a son. That's the hard part of repentance. So we like to live with the poverty mentality of, I've done terrible things, I don't qualify, I got the smell of slop on me, I've done awful things, and therefore I'll be willing, just if the Lord would just let me be a servant. I don't want to presume. And what the Father's saying, no, if you're going to live around here, since I'm the Father, I determine the basis of your staying around. And if you're going to hang around me, you're going to have to accept the robe of righteousness, the ring of authority, and the shoes of the gospel of the preparation of peace, and you're going to have to come to the party and have fun. Our problem is, see, we got a concept of God that's so limited and so distorted that we don't know that's what he wants. And we think it makes him happy that we want to talk about the hog pen. So the real repentance is repenting up to believing what God says is true about his acceptance of us. Well, finally the boy repents enough that he's willing to wear a robe and get that ring on, got his shoes on. So he goes into the party. And they're having a great, great time. Kill the fattened calf. Calf that they kept over there and fed on corn stuff. Good stuff. Well, they're in there having a party, dancing, having a great time. Father likes that. And then we got the story of the other boy. He's in a far country too. You don't have to go far to get in a far country. You can go in a far country. Stay right where you're sitting. In fact, some of us may be sitting in a far country tonight. Because he wasn't at the party. He's close. And so the father goes out and says, hey, I noticed you're not at the party. Why don't you come on in? Well, he said, I'm not coming in. Well, why not? Well, all these years, I've been serving you, and I never transgressed your commandment one time. And you never gave me a goat that I can have a party on. So here's the characteristic of the rebellious, of the religious. The religious mentality is that the Father's nature is that the way to please him is by serving and by obeying rules. But he's still not enjoying the Father. He thinks by serving and obeying rules, he has some rights. Ever been there? Lord, I fasted and prayed for 30 days, and you owe it to me. Well, Lord, there are people been out here, and they've ruined their bodies with drinking and all drugs and all that kind of stuff, and you healed them. And I've been drinking carrot juice my whole life, and you won't heal me. I got some rights. I've been obedient. I've done the right stuff. I went to church. I read my Bible. I did all the stuff. Why aren't you doing what? Don't I have some leverage with you? Religious people are always trying to use the leverage they have because of their service and their commitment to keeping the rules. Oh, y'all. We don't have any rights. But see, you don't need any rights when you got a father who just wants to throw a party in your honor.
That's right.
So, boy wouldn't go in. Now, before you get too hard on that guy, what happened, you see, is when the young boy left home, he got his portion of the inheritance. So everything left belonged to the older boy. So in effect, they're killing his fatted calf. At least in his mind, that was his robe, his ring, his shoes. Because everything left was his. He was the older son. And you know the law of the Jewish tradition. The older son had the rights. He was going to get a greater portion anyhow. But now he got the whole thing. Now this boy's coming back trying to hone in on his inheritance. He's not too happy about that. Now, would you have been? That's the way the Jews felt toward the Gentiles. Hey, God spoke to Moses. He didn't speak to some Gentile somewhere. He spoke to Moses. He created Israel. He gave us the law. We're the ones who have the patriarchs. We're the ones that got the tradition. We're the ones that have the temple. We got all that kind of stuff. God is not going to give these paganized Gentiles this stuff. We don't want them in here. They don't deserve it. I am not going to any party where you're celebrating that kind of stuff. Well, so we got two boys. One who went off and wasted his stuff, one who stayed at home and kept craving a goat. I love the answer that the father gave. Son, you wanted a goat? All these goats are yours. You wanted a party? Everything I have is yours. Religious people can't see what they got. The Jews couldn't see it in their day, and we can't see it today in the same kind of blindness. Well, good story about the father, isn't it? Where's Jesus in that story? Something interesting about these parables, when you read the parables of the kingdom, in the story of the sheep, somebody went looking for the sheep. Shepherd went looking for the sheep. Story of the coin, the woman who lost the silver coins went looking for the coin. Story of the sons, where's the rescuer? Who went looking? Well, you see, the way it's set up, the way the story is set up, and the way the tradition of the Jews was set up is the older brother was responsible for the family. That's why he got the preponderance of the inheritance, so he could look after the rest of the family. If anything happened to anybody in the family, the older brother had to go get them, help them, get them back started. That was his job. This older brother stayed at home while his brother was in a far country. He didn't go looking any bars or drug houses or whatever for him. He just stayed at home, obeying the commands and serving his father and what he thought was pleasing him. And nobody went and got the boy. Can I tell you another story about an older brother? Jesus is the older brother who came from heaven, came from the Father, looking for those in a far country. Traveled a long way. Found us. Brought us back. Put a robe on us. His robe. The robe of righteousness. Gave us authority, his name. Said, if you ask anything in my name, the Father will do it. Put his shoes of the gospel of peace on us, so we could stand anywhere in peace because he's in charge. Not only gave us his calf, he became the sacrifice. He invited us to a meal where he was not only the host, but he was the meat and the bread. and the wine. It's that Jesus that walks off the pages of Scripture today to find you wherever you are. Remember, you don't have to be out there in a drug house somewhere. You can be sitting in Deeper Life Church. And can I tell you, Jesus is coming after you. So what have I got to do? Just be a sinner. Just be needy. Say, I want to get in. Just stand still. Because he came to get you. And when he comes to get you, he takes you to the Father. And when he gets you to the Father, he takes the veil off the Father and shows you what the Father's like. And when you see what the Father's really like, everything you've ever longed for gets satisfied. Jesus has walked in here today. And he came to get you. He said, I feel like I hadn't obeyed enough. I don't feel like I've prayed. I don't feel like I've got enough. It's all right. He came to get you. Way too good to be true, isn't it? Don't we have to do something? Yeah. Be needy. Oh, he's gracious. He's opened our eyes and let us see where we are. Lord, I need you. That's his coming to you. Do you sense him? Do you recognize him? Came to get you in your loneliness. He came to get you in your isolation. He came to get you in your fear. He came to get you in your sense of disqualification. He came to get you in your pain. He came to get you in your conflict, in your poverty. He came to get you. He's a good older brother. And he is not at all upset that he's got to share the inheritance with you. Everything the Father owns is his. And he gives us the inheritance. Now bow your head with me. I guess you don't have to bow your head. Sometimes that helps to eliminate distractions. Jesus has come. Well, it's a good story the way it is in the Scripture, man. He was in a hog pen and came to himself. Been a better story if the older brother had gone and got him. Walked home with him in his hands, took him to the Father himself. That's a story God has for you tonight. Father, I thank you that when we see you, we are satisfied. I thank you that you sent the Son. And the Son has taken us to you. And I thank you that tonight, by the power of your Spirit, you're making Jesus real to us so that we can all see you, Father. Just where you are, where you're sitting. If you realize that in some way or another, at least you're not in the party. You don't know how far in the far country you are, but at least you're not in the joy of the celebration. If you just say, Lord Jesus, come get me. I think that'd probably be enough. I'm willing to go. And then with no fanfare, would you just encounter Jesus right where you're sitting? And now the Holy Spirit will begin to open your eyes to what the Father has in the inheritance for you. That's what he is doing. It's what he wants to do. It's what he's come to do. He's come to make it all real to you tonight. So, look. If it helps you, ask, Lord, what is it? What does a father have in the inheritance that's mine? It was given to Jesus, and now he's shared it with him. What's mine? What can I take tonight? Can I take healing? Can I take purpose? Can I take joy? Can I take faith? What can I take? And the Lord's going to tell you what you can take. And you need to receive it. Thank him. Not all parties are loud, but all parties are fun. What Jesus is doing in your heart may not be loud, but oh, isn't it wonderful when that peace comes in and the Lord gives you that word of faith that you're able to receive from him and say, I got it. I take that. Oh, eventually it will get loud because you're going to have to tell somebody, but it doesn't have to be loud in its initial stages. Lord, I thank you that you are a father that's got plenty, and you enjoy giving it to your sons. To those of us who've abused it, to those of us who neglected it, to those of us who rebelled, for those of us who rejected you for religion, we still would like to go into the party, and I thank you that the invitation is to both. And so we come in Jesus' name.